The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Touchdowns out here.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you've been off work, but you're off work and you're enjoying this Christmas Eve into Christmas Day as The Drive continues to roll through. And we got our guy, B. Skeezy, also the blonde tip bomber, myself, and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T. We'll hear about money bags here in a bit. But the first thing and the latest is that 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kurt Holmes. And the latest news we have is on Tank Dell. And if you've missed this, this was reported a little over an hour ago. Tank Dell, who we heard from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, on the fact that he had suffered a torn ACL. This is the full injury that we're hearing reported right now, and it is lengthy. Wide receiver Tank Dell suffered a torn MCL, a torn LCL, and as we learned yesterday, a torn ACL. So an MCL, LCL, and ACL, a dislocated kneecap, and meniscus damage on that injury in which he caught that touchdown in the game on Saturday. And the other part of this is it looks like there are going to be multiple surgeries and a long road to recovery. And due to the nature of the injury and the amount of surgeries needed, Dell will likely miss the 2025 season.
Man, that's rough.
That's rough, and it is really a sad situation, and this is one, Brandon, that you hope that he is able to recover from, return from. We've seen some examples. I talked about Willis McGahee back a while ago. I think Nick Chubb, who did come back this year, Nick Chubb had a pretty gruesome injury where he had multiple LCLs torn. We've seen guys return, and hopefully Tank Dell is able to do that, but I don't think it is over the top, Brandon, to say this could have career effects in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about just the amount of surgeries in and of itself. We kind of, in sports, we do this thing where we'll just say so-and-so is going to have surgery and then they're going to rehab and come back. But surgery, like, to me, every surgery is, there's not a such thing as a minor surgery. For the most part, especially when we talk about reconstructing the knee, those are all major surgeries. So I don't know how many exactly he's going to have, but just the fact that we're talking about plural or multiple has got to be concerning. Like, when I thought it was just the dislocated kneecap, you know, that was bad enough. But then when you start talking about multiple CLs, the LCL, MCL, ACL, and then the meniscus damage on that, you got to figure that those are different surgeries right there. The meniscus, the LCL, and all of that.
Multiple surgeries.
Yeah, so like all of that together, and I was saying this earlier when we first heard about it, like it makes you wonder how you put it all, how you put Humpty Dumpty back together again, so to speak, you know, for his knee. And I also think about this. if he's going to miss the entire 2025 season or even a significant portion of
his contract, like,
that means that he's coming back in a contract year from all of these surgeries and all of these injuries. That will be the final
year four?
That'll be year four, the final year of his contract. He's not a first round pick, so it's not that exercise the fifth year option type of thing. He's a free agent after his fourth season, so he's coming back in a contract year on the surgery or off the surgery. So, that's got to be, aside from just the road ahead of him in rehab and getting his knee right, even when you get back, it's going to be kind of an uphill battle, or you're back against the wall because it's a contract year and your future is decided by this. Like, we were talking about Tank Dell last year as a potential star in the making. Now, he'll be kind of, I wouldn't say fighting for his career, but basically fighting for his career, right? Like, he's fighting for his career now with this rehab process. And then coming back off of that in a contract year in the next time he plays.
Yeah. This is a long recovery. Obviously ahead. And we knew, as they kept saying, it's a significant injury. And you saw the injury. You could kind of tell that this was going to be a serious recovery. And that's what we're seeing out of it. While we're on injury front with the Texans, the injury report is out because for some reason, we know the reason, but the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans are playing football after they just damn played Saturday. Here is the injury report. The guys that are out in this game, Foley Fadakasi with an ankle, as well as Shaq Mason. So he is going to be out now. I'm guessing Kendrick Green is over there, I would assume.
Yeah.
That would be a real shocker to me after he played that they would go in a different direction. I don't know. Maybe they feel like Zach Thomas. Hell, they've had 3 days.
Threw him out there at tackle when Fisher went off.
Yeah, I heard Todd Blackledge was surprised there. I wondered why they weren't going to kick Titus Howard back out there. They got Titus as the guard, damn it. But Shaq Mason there, and then Juice Scruggs, as we knew, potentially was going to be out. This is going to be his third game. Christian Harris, as you said, not even on the injury report with that ankle. John Mechie, who's missed the last game with the shoulder, he is going to return, and they need that as well. And Will Anderson, full participant on Tuesday with the hand, he is good to go as well. Denico Autry, the only one of question, he is questionable in this game.
Hey, shame on the 832 trying to clown CJ here in our chat. Says CJ will never recover from this news.
Oh, there was another one.
Man,
there was another
one.
God bless, brother.
There's another one that's worse.
I didn't want to do that one.
Yeah, I didn't want you to do that one either.
I picked wisely.
Over the top there, as you knew it would be. But the Shaq Mason one, and I found it interesting what you said when we talked about this a bit earlier. This may be one of them blessings in disguise. Shaq Mason, right? This is last year.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
just saying here. They got to be. But you think, hell, this may be a blessing in disguise. Kendrick Green, who no one had ever thought the guy moved to fullback, might be the better option.
Yeah, one of them good problems, I think. I feel like there is a segment of folks that have suspected that Kendrick Green, although a backup, not considered a star by any means, but that he could potentially be the answer to either one of their guard issues that they've had throughout the year. And I think the fact that left guard has been so bad, and they had to replace their center. That kind of went underrated because left guard was so bad. But what has gone underrated behind all of that is how right guard hasn't been as good. You got three positions along your interior offensive line that have been, I would say, less than ideal for most of the season. And so Shaq Mason being the constant veteran, the guy that played every snap last year, he's a Super Bowl champion and all of that. I feel like he gets the least of the scrutiny here, but quiet is kept. That hasn't looked great either.
Yeah, so Shaq Mason out for this game. We'll see what the O-line looks like. As Baltimore has been picking it up defensively, this is not the same team defensively that we saw like the first few months of the season, first 10 12 weeks of the season. They have picked it up on the front end and the back end here in the last, I'd say, few weeks.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the other game tomorrow on Christmas Day, the one that precedes, as Brandon has stated, the Beyonce concert that
That's right.
the game is around. Steelers and Chiefs.
Bundle Ruski do.
And George Pickens is set to return to action versus the Chiefs. He's missed three straight games. He changes this team.
Yes.
In a big way. And you've clearly seen this offense kind of struggle. With George Pickens, when he's a part of this group, do you believe that the Steelers are in that top echelon of teams in the AFC when he's there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if we're considering the top echelon to be the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens, yeah, I think the Steelers are right there. Without him, just to be clear about your question and my answer, without him, no. With him, yes. I feel like the defense is good enough. I feel like Russ has shown us that he is good enough as a quarterback, and they need that top-end guy. They are lacking that, obviously, without him.
If yeah, he's you insert the only him in the lineup, have, right? He's yeah. the only he's like the that? Only dude yeah. that they have, explosive yes. guy that they have like that.
Yeah, 100%. So they have to absolutely have to have him to be in this conversation, and they are absolutely out of the conversation if he's not there. 100%. Black and white to me.
How would you want this thing to shake out? And Texans fans can jump in this as well. As the Steelers play the Chiefs, and the Ravens obviously are going to play you, would you rather the Ravens win the division and they're the 3 seed, or Pittsburgh loses the division and they're the 5? Like, which who would you rather see? Because the loser of that division seems like they're headed to the 5 seed. Now the Chargers and the Broncos could mess with things, but it looks like they're headed to the 5 seed.
Yeah. So the only teams, and this is just kind of generally speaking here, the only teams that I want to avoid wholeheartedly in this whole equation are the Ravens and the Chiefs. Like the Chiefs because they're the Chiefs, and the Ravens because there's a history there and they just feel like a bad matchup. If I got to live, I don't want to play in Buffalo for any reason, but if I have to live with any of the other teams in any other scenario, I'm going to live with it. If I can avoid the Ravens or the Chiefs in any scenario, pretty much any year, I'm going to try to do that. Those are the teams that I feel like are closer to kryptonite than anybody else.
So we'll see. But George Pickens completely changes the Steelers team. They've been sliding here of late. And, in fact, I think they've lost all three of these puppies that he has missed, which wouldn't be a surprise because he is
– you know, he's different.
He is as much baggage as he brings at times.
Yeah, I was going to say, they had him and Deontay Johnson at the same time. With all kind of shenanigans.
Couldn't have them in there together.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night, I'm not sure how Tyler did money-wise in this game, but Green Bay, they absolutely destroyed the
Saints.
The Saints last night. I was saying the Packers. The Packers destroyed the Saints 34-0 last night.
First shutout of the season.
And it wasn't even a big Jordan Love game, right? I mean, he didn't even throw for 200 yards passing. I don't even think he threw for 150.
He had a couple moments, though, couple plays that you're like, oh, yeah, he's that guy.
In a game like that against a team like the Saints, that's probably all you need.
Yeah.
But 34-0. Do you sense that the Packers are a top three team in the NFC and a legit Super Bowl contender, like at least to get there?
Yeah, I have them firmly in the top three as the third team. So if you're talking about the NFC, I'm going Detroit. I'm going Philly, and I'm going Green Bay right after that. And I feel like, honestly, they are close. Like, they are about as close of a 1-2-3 as you'll get for me. You know, like, I think any of them can beat any of the other ones. And all three of them have a legitimate shot to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. All three of them. So, yeah, if you're asking top three, I would put them third. But would it surprise me if the Packers are representing the NFC in the Super Bowl with Jordan Love, with Jacobs running the ball the way that he is right now? The defense is pretty good. No, I think that they are a legit Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I want to say they are, and I want to say they're one of the top three teams. Obviously, I think the Eagles and the Lions, even though they are a completely different team with all their injuries, I think that would be an interesting matchup to see the Packers play the Lions again. But I want to say they are. But everybody just kind of discounts the Vikings, right? The Vikings just sitting there, and they just keep winning. They got two losses. They got a chance. to fool around and be the number one overall seed in this thing if you just keep watching it.
Maybe the most underrated two-loss team that we've ever seen.
But Green Bay, they've got four losses. All of them are to those teams that we're talking about. They've lost to Minnesota. They play them again coming up this weekend. They lost to Minnesota. They lost to the Lions twice, home and road. And then they lost in South in Brazil to Philadelphia.
To the Eagles.
Lost to all of those teams. Like I think the Packers. I know they have the Vikings left. They need to win this game, right? Like I'm not saying that it's over and they can't make a run, but at some point, like, we keep believing they are in this thing. But then it's like, well, when are y'all gonna beat one of these teams?
Yeah. Yeah, but see, there's also, and maybe this is more narrative than actual reality or coincidence, but there's also this idea that Jordan Love gets better as the season goes on. Like, the team that Philly beat in week one in Brazil is not the team that they would play in, you know, an NFC championship game or any kind of playoff scenario that would work itself out. Like, there seems to be something to Jordan Love improving throughout the season. And, yeah, no, I think that, you know, Minnesota is right there. But if you're going to ask me, do I believe in a team led by Jordan Love versus a team led by Sam Darnold, I don't give a damn if they beat him head-to-head already or not. I'm not finna to bet on Sam Darnold. No disrespect.
Till Sam make you bet on him?
No, or it's not even a Sam thing. Just not over Jordan Love. Not over what I'm seeing from Jordan Love. Sam's done his job, which I said is the thing that he needed to do. Don't F this up. And he is not, to his credit.
He had a couple of throws in that game to Jefferson against Seattle. That was big time.
Yeah,
that
no, for sure. Yeah. But I like Green Bay firmly as the third best team.
We're going to have to maybe start respecting Minnesota if they all of a sudden, by the end of this thing, step up here and win this one season.
Hey, I respect them. I wasn't the one that put Cade Stover on Jonathan Grenard. That was the Texans who did that. I watched them play. But hey.
Long time
ago. Hey, man, I have not let it go.
Well, speaking of Bobby Slowick, I have been a defender of Bobby Slowick, which I believe is just all of the bad things that happened in the offense seems to go to him. All of them. And I'm a defender of Bobby into thinking, yes, Bobby has had his fair share of issues and blame towards why this thing ain't functioning the way that we thought it would, but it ain't all on him. Well, he said something yesterday where he lost me on this one. I can't understand where Bobby's going here. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Like, and I feel bad, man. He's a Hall of Famer. Every time I see DeMarcus Lawrence on the screen, all I think about is they let him waltz up there and sing that national anthem.
Yeah.
They let him sing
DeMarcus where?
That damn national anthem. Yeah. That's all and I don't think about all the sacks, the Super Bowl he won with the Broncos, what he did for the Cowboys. I just see that man with that microphone singing that damn national anthem.
Yeah, and trying having to fight through it. You know, because it's like with the national anthem, it's not like you can quit. You can't quit midway through just because it's not going well. You got to power through and get to the end.
I don't think he was fighting. I think he just ran through.
Man, yeah, that's right. He was one of those that thought it was
good. I believe we later found out, right, Tyler, he was doing it in honor of something or somebody.
There's no honor in that.
I remember that.
I hate to say it, but there's no honor in that.
It was against the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, and there was for somebody that he was doing it for, and I just said, I know he gets into the hall, but damn, you don't get to just let him sing it.
I doubt that person appreciated it.
Yeah, ooh. Man, I don't get the honor in butchering the national anthem.
Yeah, I don't.
Whether you stand, sit, kneel, or whatever, we got to at least play it on tune.
Because I remember that was
we got to play it on tune regardless.
Like people was like this.
Yeah. Or just one of them Jones with a mouth is just a gape. They just kind of like, I can't believe.
Now it wasn't it wasn't like Roseanne. It was just like, oh, this ain't a singer.
No,
that's what it was. It was clear.
And I don't get how when you don't have a even if it's somebody like DeMarcus Ware, like somebody that's a legend. I don't get why if you don't have a singer or something happens to your singer, why you just don't play it on instruments?
Play that sucker on instruments.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it actually, like, low-key, the national anthem is one of those songs that sounds better on, like, a saxophone. Sort of. Or the electric guitar. But that, how many of those were created?
I think, what's my
That's
man?
What I'm saying, though.
Chris Stapleton. I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
I think he sounded good.
One of the songbirds of our generation.
Absolutely. You got some exceptions, but I'm saying if you don't have those types of options he's in
no,
front of you.
He's no Gracie Lawrence, but.
Go with the instruments, dog. Go with the instruments.
Go check out Gracie Lawrence. I believe the voice of our time.
I think Chris Stapleton did one of the better national anthems that I've ever heard.
I just want you to check out the band.
I'll check it out. Check it out.
Gracie Lawrence. She's special. She changed my life.
Michael McDonald at the 2000, either 3 or 4 All-Star game, I think.
Wow, you got a year on that second.
Think. Well, did he do, he might have done a Marvin Gaye thing. Either way. Marvin Gaye's national anthem.
Solid one, yes.
There we go. That led me to a place.
All right. Speaking of leading led to a place, Bobby Slowick, he lost me on this one. He really did. He was commenting on the run game. That was the question that was given to him. And within this, he started to discuss they were kind of deciding to throw to set up the run. And then he started to talk about C.J. Stroud's game against the Chiefs. And this is from Bobby Slowick. And maybe you agree with him. I just can't get here with him.
I thought CJ did a good job. Like, I thought CJ last game played his best game. I really did. I thought the things he put out there against Kansas City, in particular in the first half, like how firm his back foot was on some of these throws, how he was hanging in there in the pocket, how good our protection was, how receivers were running routes. Like, we really felt good about the pass game against Kansas City early on and really the week before also. So that was more of just from a starting point, you know, how we wanted to approach the game. But there's no question. We know we got some room to improve in the run game, and we'll continue to strain to do that. You get to the end of the year and in playoff football, the run game is going to be a huge part.
Yeah, my man said in the week before too against the Dolphins too. I didn't really even catch that one.
Yeah,
the first time. Listen, and this is why another point of why when people start going off about play calling, like I'm a little skeptical. Like my place of going off about play calling is. You're in the AFC Championship game. You're the number one rushing team in the league, and Todd Malka just is to hell with running the football in a one possession game. Like that one, I get. But for the most part, you never know what injuries people have. You never know what matchups that people struggle with. You never know who's hurt, who could do what. You just don't. We don't have the information that they have on why they do some of the things. So play calling to me is a little up in the air. But this year. It was the best that he's seen him all year.
Yeah. Ooh. The best?
20 of 39, 2 touchdowns, and he made some plays. CJ
Which
made some
was
plays.
Where was he looking from?
Now, I don't think this was the worst performance from CJ. I mean, this wasn't Packers, but it can't. He threw 2 picks, and they were, to me, both on him.
Yeah.
And in a game of which, like, hey, one thing we can't do, man, we can't turn the ball over. The Chiefs scored 10 points off of those turnovers.
Had those delay of games, ran out of bounds, to lose yardage for no reason,
Which
for no
was
good
one
reason.
One of the sacks, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't see how this game was better than the first one that they played this year. Thought that was perhaps his best game. They also beat the Bills this year where he outdueled Josh. I don't know if you want to call that his best game.
I think he was better in that game. The first game of the season, I thought he was.
That's what I'm saying. The first Colts game, and then later on, a couple weeks later, when they play the Bills.
The first Jags game.
The first Jags game.
He was really, really good in that game.
That might be his best game of the season. This one, I thought, had a chance to be. I'll say this. I honestly thought they had a chance for it to be his best game of the season before the Tank Dell injury, like both what the injury
really,
did.
Really, he had already thrown those picks.
Yeah, but I thought they had a chance to win the game.
I thought they had a chance to win the game.
And whatever connection he and Tank found in that particular game was, like, this would have been, to me, their signature win if they had actually won the game at Arrowhead.
Absolutely.
At Arrowhead, and what Tank was able to do that game. If he's still – two things. If Tank Dell is still available to them throughout the rest of the game – and C.J. Stroud does not seem affected the way that he did after the Tank Dell injury, I think he could have been on his way to having his best game, possibly. But knowing how the game ended, to be able to say that several days later with us all having watched the game, I don't see how you can land on that.
Yeah, it was just on the road. To me, one of the top things is I can't turn the ball over.
I get it.
I can't set them up. And, you know, you're in midfield and you turn the ball over at the end of the half.
Yeah, no, I get
it. Some points at the end.
But I still think you can have your best game even with turnovers. Like, I
think you can.
I'm not excusing the turnovers, but I still think you can do enough. You as the quarterback are putting your team in the position all of this time. They're kind of living with you and dying by you. I can excuse some of the turnovers a little bit if you have, you know, the result on the back end. They did not. So, no, obviously it wasn't, to me, a great game.
Necessarily completely excuse you.
Right.
But, like, the Bills game, right, against a really good opponent, you know, he only had one turnover in that game, and he was really, really good. The Jags game, the Colts game, we thought the Colts were worth a damn. He was really, really good under duress. So, I don't know. My man, Paul Axel. Okay, Ron, we get it. You're going to stand on the hill to point at CJ. Not pointing at CJ. I'm just saying, like, you watched that performance. You've watched CJ every game I have this year. Did you think that was CJ Stroud's best game?
No. I thought there were plays left out on the field, and I thought it was mismanagement.
They say no.
Yeah, it was mismanagement toward the end of the game that had a lot to do with not play calling or coaching, but quarterback play. So, no, I would say no.
Like I said, I'm not privy to what Slowick knows in terms of, hey, maybe some things were forced CJ to be in a bad spot on things that we don't know about. But CJ, I think CJ's had four to five to six games better than this.
Yeah.
On the docket.
Yeah. So. Colts, Jags, and Bills stand out to me just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Off the top of my
head. Absolutely. Yeah, those three, you know, easily they do.
Man, I'd argue it's better against Detroit, even though they coughed that game up.
The Detroit game was very kind of similar to me, just the halves flipped.
Yeah.
Right. I think there were points, like the throw to Tank was nasty.
Yeah.
He made a couple of really good reads in there. The touchdown he got where he got away from pressure and threw it to Dalton Schultz created that play. Created another third down attempt to Nico into the red zone. I thought he did some things. But he had two really, really poor turnovers that led to 10 points.
Yeah. It's probably better against Miami, honestly, to a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think it was – I don't think that game was great. So, yeah. All right, I'll comment.
Coming up as we continue, we'll get to T-Mill's best bets. This is an epidemic that has to stop in the National Football League. I'm really about over it. And I hope guys like CJ don't feel pressured to have to do stuff like this. Don't you do it, CJ. Don't you dare. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Let's ride.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You're a monster.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Everything you celebrate as it is Christmas Eve tomorrow, Christmas Day. A fun time for everybody. It is a Texans sure. Okay. And for the kids as well. Tyler shoves that in there.
Gotta have milk for those cookies.
That's right. Brandon Scott in as Clint is out today. Texans, Ravens tomorrow, New Year's Day, and I do want to get to I think
you're rushing it, man. New Year's is Christmas.
I mean, Christmas. I'm running.
You're getting it, man. Life is short enough.
Christmas.
Damn it.
But I do want to get to some feelings I have towards the fan base here with the Texans here just a bit. T Mill's best bets coming up as well. This has to stop. These quarterbacks, and I think they're going to put pressure on other players. And I hope CJ Stroud does not buckle under the pressure of this. I read to you the ridiculous thing that Patrick Mahomes gave his offensive line, 12 of them. And I believe maybe 2.5 of them deserved it. Russell Wilson says, no, I will not be stopped. Offensive line, here's my gift to you. Right off the bat, $10,000 to Airbnb, a gift card. Mr. I don't even know you.
Limited.
Like, how you I've never heard of that.
How you even say, I got a number, C, B and Sierra. I got a number, 10 grand.
Must 10 be one grand. Of them gifts that the top 1% are circling around.
But
with
it
each
ain't.
Other.
But you know, it ain't just like, you know, it ain't just one. Like, this is every bit of, like I said, Mahomes did it for 12. But I'm wondering if that is what, like Russ is doing.
Yeah.
$10,000 for Airbnb gift card. Didn't know it. I bet you they didn't either. Louis Vuitton duffel bag in Steelers colors.
Yeah, come on now. What are we doing?
No, you didn't have to do that.
I can appreciate the Airbnb. Buy something about buying a man a duffel bag. Now, I don't mind if a man carried a duffel bag or want to have a man
what, you
bag.
Mean another man buying it for
yeah, no, nah, I'm just, I mean, I'm not, now, you, I'm not 21st century enough for that.
Well, now, if you ain't going to buy, but if you going to buy, man, what, some of these guys ain't going to be on the Steelers next year. Why can't That's I just right. get a regular Louis Vuitton bag?
Man.
Well, I got to be in Steelers colors. Now, you know, you're not complaining. But
get them. They sell shoes at the Louis store. Get them
we
shoes.
We do not care.
Also, custom made Steelers good man brand shoes. That's his premium, his own
right.
premium men's clothing brand. So that was on the house. Mm-hmm. And then another one on the house, a bottle of his wife, Sierra's. 10-1 rum. I saw the picture. I've got him a nice bottle of rum as well. I mean, this has got to stop. This is ridiculous. CJ, please don't buckle under the pressure on this thing. I mean, I'm not. Well,
CJ ain't got this kind of contract yet.
Well, I hope not.
He ain't got no Mahomes or CJ, Wilson money yet.
But CJ feels like the type of guy that would potentially, you know, hey, man, I want to take care of these guys.
Yes, yes.
I want to take care of these guys, man. Yes.
They're his brothers.
Yeah, yeah, they're his brothers, all of them. Every last one of them.
All 50-something of them.
All of them. All, but
I bet he gets Tank like a hell of a gift.
But really going to the line here, right? I bet he, think about it, man. AMC gift cards, those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to go to the movies. That's where you are. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Robux.
This is getting ridiculous, people here. $10,000 for Airbnb gift card to somebody else who makes millions?
No. Yeah, but that's the thing to them. I mean, that's not 10 grand to them.
Dog, this will load up. What we talk about with Mahomes, a Rolex.
Think about where they're staying when they go to Airbnbs.
Yeah.
Great.
Probably 10K a night.
Great. Yeah. Well,
it's a different standard I know when it's they Airbnb.
But we're starting to rack up 12 of these puppies.
Yeah. It's a lot of big men you got to buy for it.
All right, man, one, this is 12 of these jokers. For 12 folks. For the Airbnb gift card of $10,000 and the Louis Vuitton custom made duffel bag, that's a hell of a penny.
We are also speaking as men who don't make and haven't made $100 million off the strength of our own and those around us.
Not yet.
It has not happened. So like they're playing a team game. They're making this money, and it is required that they have teammates in order for them to play this game. I can't really identify with what it even means to get a $10,000 gift card to anything or anywhere.
To anywhere.
Much less an Airbnb.
Texas Roadhouse, no matter what.
No, no, no. $500. Man, I used to sell them green dot cards at Walgreens. And somebody would come in there and put $500 on a green dot. And I'd be like, yo, what you got going on? You putting $500 on
easy,
this bad boy?
Easy.
What's going on? They didn't give it to me cash. I'm like, yo, 500
like I
on the green dot.
Like
so yeah, 10,000 for Airbnb is beyond my comprehension.
To find more. There's more of this, right? Mahomes and Wilson are the only ones I've seen quarterback gifts.
Them ostrich boots Mahomes got for his dudes
ridiculous.
They were solid.
Don't give me no bag though, man.
Quarterback gifts.
I don't know how rich we gonna get.
It's not full of honey buns like James Harden.
And how close we gonna get throughout the rest of our lives.
Joe Burrow got his guys Japanese swords.
Man, see, I can appreciate that.
It's like samurai swords.
I can appreciate
and
that.
Multiple bottles. Hold on.
They signed by the dude from American Idol.
If you another man, I appreciate you buying me a samurai sword. Over a Louis duffel bag.
I only want it if it's signed by Randy Jackson.
You'll hold that duffel bag. Yeah, he.
I ain't saying I ain't going to hold it. I'm just going to feel a way about that being the gift. I'm going to be like, why did you buy me a bag, though? They sell more than bags at the Louis
store. Look, Brock Purdy. He bought all of them Toyota Tundras.
Now, he don't even have no money.
He bought him all. He's a 7-round pick. See, he's being pressured. He bought all his offensive line Toyota Tundras.
Well, he didn't. At least he didn't go like full F-150s. Now that'd be
his ass better have a. His ass better have a deal.
Hey, look, I'm not interested in actually looking into the tax law on this, but I wonder if they can write this stuff off.
Oh, now this is crazy.
You think they can?
Now
write...
that's a thought. I bet you anything they can.
I mean, hey, no way. Brock Purdy's buying multiple Toyota Tundras.
12 of them
for other folks.
Daniel Jones.
If he can't write it off.
Daniel Jones, who's traded to the Vikings, he bought all his offensive linemen for the Giants stuff.
Oh, now he.
Oh yeah, he messed up.
Limited edition bottle of Clase Azul. He fought that for all of the linemen for the Giants.
That's that bottle I had to buy for Clint that one time when I lost a bet.
See, part
that makes me feel a little bit better. If you lost a bet and you were able to purchase, you got to. That makes me feel a little. But you, I didn't got traded. Hell no, I ain't buying y'all ass nothing.
But he also kind of has, dare I say, stolen money. I mean, it's not stolen because they gave it to him.
It over to Saquon.
Somebody. So he should be giving. He should be the biggest damn gift giver out there.
It is
Daniel Jones. Man. I mean, you want to talk about having $100 million? He ain't that, supposed
to. He getting that K. Adams.
Gift. Come on now.
Yeah, he giving them that K. Adams.
Boner alert.
You think you really? No, ain't no way. Ain't no way. K. Adams got to have more options than that.
She may, but she really likes it.
Get out of here.
Tearing it up. I think he's got a great first step. I mean, first line. I don't know what it is. Got that strong chin.
I mean, I would assume so with a face like that.
He's not
Travis.
The first line is, I just signed a contract for $140
million. But that don't mean nothing to hurt. I mean, no, don't say what that means.
He's
not Travis Hunter. Like, I mean, Daniel Jones is a
full hit. Circle. Oh,
what are we doing?
Full circle.
What are we doing?
Well, when we're talking about less attractive, I believe you made it. You did this. Travis Hunter's the face.
I explicitly said that going into 2025, it is a blessing that we no longer call people ugly.
I want the dogs.
And y'all just went the other way.
I'm just saying.
Y'all
I'm just simply saying
are regressive.
He doesn't favor Travis Hunter. Shout out to Travis Hunter, who welcomed his brother as a part of the Adidas team as well. That's a gift he gave him, so shout out to him. Coming up, T-Mill's Best Bets. We'll get to that in a second. Also behind us, the Players Show, Henry Toa Toa. He will be on after we get done. I do want to say this before we get to T-Mill's Best Bets. I do have empathy for the Houston Texans and that, you know, D'Amico and Nick and Cal and Hannah. I do have empathy towards them and the fans of the Texans because I do feel like there's a bit of a feeling of being robbed through this season with what you thought you were going to have. And yes, we all thought they would be in the playoffs, and they've made the playoffs, and they've won the division. But this is not the best step, obviously, Cal, to have no Tank Dell, to have no Diggs, who you know, kind of gave a risk by trading on a 1-year contract for a second round pick. No Brevin Jordan, no Petrie, no Ward, all on IR. The amount of guys who have missed long-term stretches, and Nico and Christian Harris and Aziz and Juice and Kenyon and D'Anico Autry and Edwards Jr. This is I feel like they're kind of robbed on what potentially this season could be with all of these major injuries to major guys.
Yeah, and to me, it's just like you can look at it as a robbery. You can also look at it as the cost of doing business and what do you do with it. That's why it's important to build a deep football team. And I think to their credit, for the most part, I know we had a conversation quite a bit about the secondary, specifically the cornerback position, not being as deep as perhaps we thought it was to start the offseason. But I feel like they've done a pretty good job of building, not just at the top end, but the depth of the team to be able to withstand all of these injuries to the point
that
where
fair.
They are still the AFC South champions. They are still going to go to the playoffs with an opportunity at least to make some noise. They've been able to withstand all of this catastrophe, if you will, around the injury situation. And even with that, I'm looking at all of the meat that they've left on the bone, the food on the table. It's like, yo, you should have beaten, like you lost to the Jets. Like, I don't know if I can say that that's just a part of or a reason of, you know, them something that I need to have sympathy for you for. Like
it's that simple.
You lost to the Jets. You collapsed against the Lions, right? Like you had a chance to beat Green Bay, even though your quarterback played one of his worst games and that game was still right in front of you. You lost to the Titans at home. Like, it's hard to really sympathize for a team, even though I root for it. It's hard to sympathize for a team that has had as many opportunities as they have wasted this year.
What's your best bet? So I know we got Christmas Day games tomorrow, Tyler.
Yes.
Help the people make a little bit of money.
And that's where I'm going. NFL Christmas Day tomorrow. We got two games, obviously, Texans being one. And I will have player prop bets for this game tomorrow if you want to check my Twitter at TMillRealDeal. But I got three for you right now. Take the points. That's the theme on Christmas this year. Steelers plus +3 against the Chiefs. And I'm taking Texans plus +6.5 tomorrow, as well as this might be my favorite one. And it might sound crazy, but take the Texans team total over 22.5 points scored versus the Ravens at NRG tomorrow. And everybody have fun at the game. Follow me to money. Follow me to money.
Yeah, I like the Texans plus +6.5. I feel like that is strong. And I just, like, I don't have the confidence to think that you're going to always get the good Ravens that just blow teams out. And I just, point totals, I feel like these are going to be low-scoring games with just how injured and how tired guys are.
So. Yeah, this is going to be dudes on pitch count.
Yeah.
Watch.
You ain't lying.
Dudes on pitch counts, and rightfully so.
And the Texans should damn sure be on it. All right. Brandon, great job today as always. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Danny Cannell for joining
us. Merry Christmas, fellas.
Merry Christmas, everybody on the drive. Enjoy yourself. We'll be back on Thursday, the whole gang, so hang out with us. We'll be on the road in Cypress, Buffalo Wild Wings, for Thirsty Thursday. Henry Toa Toa coming up behind us. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
And the world's all right with me.
Can I just...
Merry Christmas!
That's where I wanted to start there, with a yelling Merry Christmas from Tyler Milner.
You got to get in the spirit, dog. You got to get in that holiday spirit.
Yeah, man. I'm in it. I just look up...
It's the most wonderful time.
That's disappointing. Now, yeah, you got to go up. Don't quit and come down. Yeah, it's the most wonderful
like you got to stay up.
Don't quit to come out. I'm looking up on the screen.
I was not expecting this at all. So, when we were growing up, I think it was more common and more socially acceptable to call people ugly.
God, can we just get a timeout? All right. And when